Well, thank you for being here. Like we said, this Sunday night, we're going to talk a little bit tonight about who we are and our identity, and more importantly, what our Christian identity is. You know, I sat in bed and one night woke up literally like 2 a.m. for some reason, grabbed my phone and jotted down some of these notes, went back to sleep. Didn't know really why, and then it kind of came full circle. Talked to Scott about doing a lesson. Kind of came full circle as to what I wanted to talk about, what I wanted to share with you. So I think it was just important because I want everybody to know that I'm not just preaching to you. I think it was more that he wanted me to say this, but he also needed me to hear it too. So, you know, we talk about our identity, maybe mistaken identity. So there's a lady driving down Ryan Street here, and there's a guy in front of her comes to a stoplight, and it turns yellow, so the guy does what he's supposed to do and slow down, which is, I know, what we all do when we come to a yellow light. And, you know, he could have sped through and got through the intersection, but he didn't. He stopped, and the lady had a bad day at work, in a hurry, so she slams on her brake. She's punching the ceiling, laying on the horn, cussing a blue streak, you know, giving the guy some hand gestures, is upset that she didn't get through the light. She was ready to go home. So the next thing she realizes is there's a tap on her window, and there's a very serious-looking police officer standing there. And he asks her to get out of the car. He asks her to put her hands behind her back, cuffs her, puts her in the back of the car, brings her down to the station, books her. She doesn't know what's going on. She's still upset. Well, a couple hours later, the arresting officer comes back in the room. He's got all of her personal belongings, and she's brought back in there, and he says, I apologize for making such a mistake, but when I pulled up behind you, you know, I noticed, you know, the rant you were going, the honking, the flipping off the guy in front of you, the cussing a blue streak, and then I noticed the "What Would Jesus Do" bumper sticker on the back of the car and the "Follow Me to Sunday School" bumper sticker, so I just assumed that you stole the car. So that's kind of mistaken identity, right? And I think we get involved in our own identity and more importantly, our Christian identity or our spiritual identity. And we kind of need to define that and keep that as much as we can. So I don't know where I'm supposed to be pointing here. Let's hope this works. Maybe if I turn it on first. So what's our Christian identity? So I have three levels of our Christian identity. We're going to spend just a few minutes on each one. It's kind of the same with any relationship you have, any personal relationship, and I think we all seek to have a deep personal relationship with Jesus. So one is you can be unavailable. Two, you can be interested. And three, you can be committed. So what's unavailable? So unavailable, the definition of unavailable says it's not suitable or ready for use, not readily obtainable or accessible. So I know my English teachers would tell me that I can substitute the prefix un for not. And so we look at ourselves and we say to ourselves sometimes, are we not suitable for a relationship with Jesus? Is that relationship not attainable? Are we unattainable? Are we unaccessible to a relationship trying to be built with us? Because I can promise you he's constantly trying to build a relationship on his end. It's what are we doing on our end? You know, and everybody has times where we've made ourselves unavailable, right? Whether we're at work and the boss is coming around the corner and we say, I'm not quite ready for that deadline that I'm supposed to meet. Don't have my numbers where they're supposed to be, so I'm going to slip out. I'm going to go outside. You know, parents, come home, long day at work. We know our kids are coming home. They're running 90 to nothing. Maybe we just need 20 minutes for me so I can just calm down. So I'm going to go in the room. I'm going to shut the door. We're going to hear knocking. We're going to hear mama, 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 and we're going to ignore it for 20 minutes. I want to make a conscious decision to be unavailable. Our kids do it too, right? You come home, you get on YouTube, you watch Netflix, you Snapchat your friends, you go off, you shut the door. I'm making a conscious decision to make myself unavailable. So, and that's the key, is that we have to choose to do that. Are we doing the same thing with our relationship with Jesus? Do we choose to make ourselves unavailable? Because again, it's a conscious decision that we make. And I know that if we're becoming unavailable in our relationship with Christ, then we're making ourselves more available to the things of the world. And if we look in Galatians, and it's a little lengthy, I'm going to read it, but I didn't put it on the screen. Galatians 5, 16 through 21, it says, "What I say is this, let the Spirit direct your lives, and you will not satisfy the desires of human nature. For what our human nature wants is opposed to what the Spirit wants, and what the Spirit wants is opposed to what human nature wants. These two are enemies, and this means you cannot do what you want to do. If the Spirit leads you, then you're not subject to the law. What human nature does is quite plain. It shows itself in immoral, filthy, indecent actions and worship of idols and witchcraft. People become enemies and they fight. They become jealous, angry, and ambitious. They separate into parties and groups. They are envious, get drunk, have orgies, and do other things like these. I warn you now, as I have before, those who do these things will not possess the kingdom of God." And, you know, if we look in Galatians and what it says, and a little background, Paul's talking to them, and in verse 7, it says, "You were doing so well. Who made you stop?" And I think we can all relate to that, that, you know, there's times when we're doing really well, when we have a really strong relationship, and we're wanting to serve and wanting to talk to people, and then there's times where we just want to go in the room and shut the door and block everybody out. We make ourselves unavailable. Now, it says very plainly, we can't have both. We can't be available to the world and unavailable to Jesus, and we can't be, you know, available to Jesus and available to the world at the same time. We have to make a conscious decision to do that. You know, what does this look like? So, and again, talking to myself too, you know, we're here but not here, pew fillers. We come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, check the box. We come Sunday mornings. What'd you do last Sunday? I went to church. I sat in the same spot and I talked to the two same people. And then when the last amen was said, I was out the door, headed to eat lunch, headed to go watch the football game, whatever it is. But I was here. I can check the box. We lack interest to serve. We don't volunteer. We don't volunteer in our community. We don't volunteer at our church. We don't try to expand the borders of this church and this kingdom. But I checked the box. I was here. Okay, I was available for an hour, and now I'm going to go shut the door, and I'm going to block everything out, and I'm just going to be able to do what I want to do. People that are normally unavailable, two reasons. Haven't let God have all of the control. So when they want to go shut the door in their rooms, you know, or shut the world out and become available, it's because I want to be able to do the things I want to do. God's got this plan for me. I may not want to be on that plan. I may not have chosen to go down this road that God's choosing for me. So if I have the control, then I can simply just say no. I can make a conscious decision to just make myself unavailable to that, and then it doesn't exist. Then I don't have to do it. You know, or they're intimidated by a larger role, or those people that serve the role. Now, how many of us in here have maybe had a little stirring or calling to go do something, but it's, well, she already does that for this church, and she does it really well. I can't do it any better than she can, so I'm just not going to do it. Or he does that really well, and he's been doing it for so long, I wouldn't want to offend him by trying to take his job at the church. James 2:26 says, "So then, as the body without the Spirit is dead, so also faith without action is dead." I know that God's given us all unique talents, all individual talents, and he's equipped us to do the things that he's going to lead us to do. He's not going to give you a talent X and then send you down this path. He's going to say, "I've equipped you to do these things. I'm going to send you down a path that's going to use these things that I've given you. And what you may be able to do down this path, that lady at church you think so highly of, she can't do this. I need you to do it." But if we're unavailable, we don't hear any of that. Because we go in our rooms and we shut the door. and we're in control, and I get to do what I want to do. I get to serve when I want to serve. You know, so maybe better than unavailable, we're interested. You know, so what does interested mean? It says having the intention engaged, being affected or involved. So those, you know, are better action verbs. That's suitable for a Christian life, right? To be engaged, to be involved, you know. But if we take a look at it, what are we interested in? So think for a second. What are you interested in? What do you show interest in? You know, I'm interested in a lot of things. I'm interested in cooking. Okay? I will watch TV shows. I'll watch guys' grocery games and all kind of stuff. And I'll Google recipes and I'll YouTube videos. And I'll sit there and watch these chefs from all over the world cook these great meals and look and go, I can do that. That's not hard. A little salt, a little pepper, a little butter, you know. And I'm engaged, right? And when those shows come on, I am engaged. Don't turn the channel. Don't talk to me. I want to see how this ends up. You know, I'm involved in it at the time, right? When it comes across the TV, I'm involved when it's convenient for me. You know, I don't sit there and do it all the time. But how much do I really cook? Right? And none of you can answer that. Okay? Because the answer is not very much at all. And they are much healthier because I don't cook. I can promise you. But it's not convenient for me to cook. I can be engaged in it. I can be involved in those videos and watching TV shows. But I really don't do it. You know? So, you know, the point is the idea interests me. But I'm only interested in it some of the time. Not all the time. Some of the time. And some of the time is not good enough for me to be a chef, right? So we don't want to be some of the time Christians. So how does this translate to our Christian identity? You know, being spiritually interested, yes, it is better than being totally unavailable. So now we're available to Christ. We're available for His plan for us. You know, but are we interested in Him some of the time? Or are we interested when it's convenient for us? So what could this possibly look like? It could possibly look like people that are here all the time. You know, and their willingness to serve is kind of a maybe, I say. Because their willingness to serve coincides with how their spiritual strength is at the time. How their faith is at the time. Where their meter is. If I'm having a great week, a great month, I'm spiritually involved. I'm in a great place in my relationship with Christ. Then absolutely, I want to go volunteer to teach this class, to get up here and talk, to do all of these things in my church home, in my community. I want to be a servant. Maybe. Maybe not. Maybe I'm having a bad day, a bad week. Maybe somebody approaches me, hey, you want to do this for our community? Well, kind of tied up at work, kind of busy at home, kids are crazy. So maybe not. Maybe next time. And the ability to share our faith goes hand in hand with that. We're Great Commission. We're supposed to go out in all the world and to teach, give the things that He's taught us and to build this kingdom of God. But sometimes we want to do that. If we're in a good mood, again, if our spiritual life is in a good place, then yeah, I want to share with people. But if it's not, maybe next time. Next time I see him, we'll talk to him about it. Next time I see that family, I'll invite them to church. Maybe. Sometimes I want to do it, sometimes I don't. And that's how interested people are. When it's convenient for them, they're interested in it. They're engaged. When it's not convenient for them, they're not. So we don't want to be unavailable, but we simply don't want to be interested in a relationship with Christ. He doesn't just want us to be interested in Him. Sometimes I'm interested. He wants us all the time. So He wants us to be in the identity that He has equipped us to be in, to be committed. So committed means that we're bound or obligated to a person or thing, that we are devoted. Most of you know that I'm a coach. If you don't, you do now. And I've coached for a long time, and there's a poster that hangs in our locker room And it talks exactly about this. And it says, there's a difference between interest and commitment. When you're interested in doing something, you do it only when it's convenient. When you're committed to something, you accept no excuses, only results. So how can we translate that into our Christian identity? Employers, right? We're committed to our job. You know, our career path, our days at work, they may not all be filled with sunshine and rainbows, right? And they may be tough days, but we're committed to do that job to the best of our abilities because we're going to get a paycheck for it. And then we're going to take that paycheck and we're going to go spend it on the things and the people that are most important to us. Right? Parents, we're committed to our children. We're not interested in our children. We're committed to caring for them, to providing them with what they need, to trying to direct them in a path with a relationship with God, to try to teach them right from wrong, to love them unconditionally. We're not just interested in how they turn out. Like, okay, hey, it's Tuesday. I should be committed to my kids, or I'm interested in what you're doing. Wednesday, I'm too busy. Thursday, yeah, maybe. We're committed day in and day out to how our kids are going to be raised. You know, so we know what that looks like. Here's what the Bible says about it. Psalms 37:5, it says, commit yourselves to the Lord, trust in him when he will act. It doesn't say be interested in the Lord. It doesn't say hopefully you're available to the Lord. It says commit yourselves to the Lord. James 4, verses 8 and 10, it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. There's nothing more humbling, especially for somebody like me that likes to be in control of everything, to give the control to God. Just say, show me where to go. Take me where you want to go. Point the direction, I'll go. Give me words, I'll speak, whatever it is. There's nothing more humbling than that. And as we do that, we draw nearer and nearer to him, and he tells us he's going to continue to draw nearer and nearer to us. Romans 12:2, one of my favorite verses. We did a camp session on this a few years ago. It says, do not conform yourself to the standards of this world, but let God transform you inwardly by a complete change of mind. Then you'll be able to know the will of God, what is good and pleasing to him, and what is perfect. He wants to completely transform us. He doesn't want to transform us some of the time. He doesn't maybe want to transform us. He wants to completely transform us. So he needs us to be completely committed. Our last verse, Matthew 22:37. We've all heard this countless times. Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. It doesn't say when you're available, do it. It doesn't say love your God with some of your heart, maybe with your soul. If it's not too much of an inconvenience, do it with your mind. He says all. There's no more defining word of a commitment than all. Not some, not sometimes. Not maybe, not when it's convenient, all. He wants us, he's telling us, be completely committed. So there's a story of a really devout Christian, an older gentleman, and he has a young man that comes up to him and he wants to know the secret. Like, there's going to be an answer. And he's like, you know, you have this such strong relationship with Jesus Christ, how do I get it? And the older gentleman says, it's a complete commitment. He says, okay, I got it, commitment. So he starts shadowing him, starts following him around, and does everything he does. Talks like he talks, is nice to people like he's nice, prays when he prays, starts to walk like he walks. So after about a week, the guy says, comes back to the older gentleman, he says, I think I got it now. Right? I'm there. You know, and he says, no, you have to understand complete commitment. He says, but I've done everything you've done. I've prayed when you prayed. I was at church when you were at church. I talked to the same people. He says, I tell you what, you meet me at the beach tomorrow morning at 5:30. So young man says, okay. So 5 o'clock in the morning, the young man's there. I'm going to show this guy that I'm committed. I'm going to be 30 minutes early. You know, if he's going to tell me the secret, then I'm going to make sure I'm going to be there. About 5:30, the older man comes and he says, we're going to start walking towards the beach. So they start walking towards the beach and they walk in the water. And he continues to tell him, take a couple more steps. Water gets up to their waist, kind of a choppy day. So kind of a hard time standing still. Waves are starting to knock him over. And he says, a couple steps further. Now the water's at his chest. He's getting a little nervous. And he says, a couple steps further. Now the water's here. And every other wave, he's bobbing up and down, gasping for breath. About that time he times his jump, the old man takes his head and holds him underwater. Now he's struggling. Now he's fighting and he's grabbing the guy. He's clawing at his chest. And he holds him and holds him and holds him. And then all of a sudden he lets him up. You know, big gasp of breath. And as they start walking back, he said, what's the one thing? The one thing that you wanted to do when you were under that water? He said, I just wanted to breathe. And he said, when you're as committed to your relationship with Jesus Christ as you were to taking that breath, then you'll get it. It's a commitment that we can't do some of the times. No, it's a commitment that we can't do maybe or when it's convenient. So what's our Christian identity? Because I know personally I've experienced every one of these. And I think we can all some ways identify with these. You know, are we unavailable? Are we making that it's a conscious decision to be unavailable? I need my 20 minutes. I need to go shut the door. Are we interested where when it's convenient for us, we do it? When it's not, we don't? Or are we committed where we're breathing Christ? And it's an all-the-time thing. We're not just sometimes Christians or Christians of convenience. We're doing it all the time and we're giving him all the control. You know, I know that if this community would ever see a church home, people in a church that were really spiritually committed a majority of the time, that this community would change because it would have to. You know, I sat right where Ethan's sitting not too long ago. And a young man got up here and he said some words probably a couple weeks before we went off the camp. He sat up here and he said, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And we have to be okay with changing. We have to be okay with looking at ourselves and say, you know what? I'm an unavailable Christian. I need to start moving up the ladder. I'm just interested. Or I'm committed. I want to get more people committed. But he said that and it stuck with me every day from that point. And, you know, my challenge to you and to myself is to go out and affect that change that I know this congregation needs. And I know that this congregation is striving for. We have to affect that. And it starts with me. It starts with you. It starts with everybody that may not be here tonight. To be okay with changing, to be committed to God and our relationship with His Son, to not be ashamed or intimidated, to not let convenience be a distraction or an obstacle, but to find that commitment that God has equipped us with, to find that path that He's given us the tools and the talents and the abilities and the people that He's going to put in our lives and the places that He's going to put us in other people's lives to affect that change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. Like you have to look in the mirror. You have to look within yourself, in your family, with your friends, and be okay with affecting that change. But don't be unavailable. Try simply not to just be interested. Try to be as committed as we can. So I know if you feel like you've never been available to to Christ, then you have an opportunity tonight to do that. If you've been up and down those levels and you just need some encouragement to be recommitted to what we're doing and what you need to do in our Christian walk and our relationship with Christ, then you have that opportunity. You know, and I sit there and I say stuff about pew fillers and, you know, I'm pointing the finger right at me, but, you know, I want us to understand that it's not just what we do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, when those doors close and there's somebody standing up here and there's 250, 300 people out there. That matters, yes. But it matters a whole lot more when we walk out of those doors. And it's what we're doing at work and what we're doing at school and what we're doing at home and who we're bringing back with us and what kind of message are they seeing when they look at us. Can they tell that you're committed in your Christian life by looking at you, by listening to you, by watching you? Or do they think you're unavailable? They have no clue because you don't show them. Yes, coming to sit here Sunday morning, it's important. It's to be around people that are faithful, that want to fellowship with you, that want to lift you up. You know, but the real war is outside these walls. You know, talking this morning, he said something this morning that, you know, Satan doesn't care. You know, when we're in here, it's kind of like our safe haven. It's kind of the same thing we talk about when we're at camp for a week. We tell the kids that Satan's scared of this place. He didn't want to come in here to Red Oak because he knows what's going on in here. But as soon as we hit that gate, as soon as we hit that road, he's going to be on your back. So our challenge isn't just to be here, to have faithful attendance, to tell everybody, well, I was here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, every week, 10 years in a row. Who'd you bring with you? What do people do? Do people know that, well, he's definitely a person that attends a really good congregation. I want to go where he goes. Or are we kind of ashamed by it or hide it? Or we just get too busy? It's not convenient for us to be like that all the time. So I want to challenge us to be committed. I know if there's anything that our church, the family here can do, whether it's having a conversation about being baptized, having a conversation about a personal relationship with Jesus, whether it's having some encouragement, if we can do anything for you tonight, I ask that you come while we stand and sing.